Hey, this is Jared Wiley, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the epic Roster Watch podcast brought to you by RosterWatch.com. I'm Alex Dunlap here with the Trash Man and Cody Carpentier, as usual, here on the Roster Watch podcast feed and on YouTube and on X. Thanks to everybody for being here. If you could, please like the show, subscribe to the channel. We'd certainly appreciate that, as well as giving us a good review in Spotify, iTunes, letting us know what a dirtball you think the Trash Man is. But just make sure and give us 5 stars while you're at it. Today we're going to be talking about a five
or how handsome you think the Trash Man is.
Well, you can leave a review about how handsome the Trash Man is. That's fine. Five rookies you should be stashing in your dynasty fantasy football leagues right now. It might be a little bit more than five because I have a few of these guys and I'm not sure what the rest of everybody has. But whenever Cody and Trashman and I were in the text last night talking about this, we said, like, let's talk about like kind of like taxi squad level dudes. So dudes that might not even go in the first 4 to 5 rounds of your traditional rookie drafts, but players that maybe if you have taxi squads that you could add on there as far as your developmental rosters or, you know, guys going super late. So it takes some of the ones like, you know, neither of you guys is going to have Tyrone Tracy Jr., right? And nothing like this, right? Trashman,
Trashman might because he loves him some Eric Gray, so he might not have a clue who Tracy is even.
Yeah, but these kinds of players, you guys have heard us talk about them, right? Some of these later round guys.
Are you saying Tracy's too dirt ball?
No. I think that he's kind of a maybe almost too mainstream.
Okay. Yeah.
My first one
might be too mainstream.
Okay, well, I'll go first, and the first guy that I'm going to I can't believe that he's not getting more talk and more buzz right now, and that is Ryan Flournoy, out of Southeastern Missouri, who we saw at the Senior Bowl, and who he was a late call up at the Senior Bowl because Jordan Whittington from Texas at the very last minute, the two Texas guys, Jalen Ford and Jordan Whittington, both pulled out. And we had a late ad in Ryan Flournoy. And with Flournoy, I should probably, as usual, very prepared here. I don't even have his measurables pulled up. Stocky guy, though.
6'1", 200 pounds.
Yeah, good BMI. 6'1", 202, but big hands on him. 10 1/8-inch hands, good wingspan. Ran a 4.44 40-yard dash. So fast, good BMI. And I don't get it, guys, because he was drafted in the sixth round by the Dallas Cowboys, who didn't know that we thought for sure they're going to be addressing running back in the draft, and they don't. You know, like, we're sure they're going to be addressing wide receiver in a big way in the draft, and this is kind of the only way that they did that. And if you look at the rest of the roster, the starting am I wrong in saying that it looks like the starting three wide receiver set in a team that every available metric has sort of told us is going to be more pass heavy this season in the Cowboys, and a team that, you know, plays in a dome, and a team that should be in good offensive situations and good spots. Is it Jalen Tolbert is the wide receiver three?
Yeah. Yeah. They just cut Martavis Bryant, who literally, if you look at the depth chart, would have been probably like the fifth best receiver as far as talent goes on the roster. Cut him. So it's depleted.
Let me just look up the Cowboys here at the depth chart. I want to make sure I'm not overlooking anybody, but to me it just seems so. Oh yeah, so it's like Kevontae Turbin and Jalen Brooks and stuff. They got Racy McMath from LSU that came over from Tennessee. Your boy Jalen Cropper from the Shrine Bowl. It's like, no, dude, I mean, Flournoy compared to these, you know, big hands, go up and get it kind of guy, good physical catch point type of receiver. And I did not think he was going to run a 4.44. It's just he didn't look like that kind of athlete at the Senior Bowl, but he was this dude every day. I remember Jason. We were sitting there with Jason from Player Profiler at the Senior Bowl, and every day we're like, man, Florida was good. And I haven't talked about him since. But we get into these drafts and in some of the spots where I have taxi squads. So I'm like, well, you know, why are we not talking about Florida as one of these late round flyers? Whenever people are talking, you know, people are taking like Taj Washington and dudes like this. Why are we not interested in Ryan Florida?
I think it's interesting. I think Florida is very interesting because like there's some stuff that's coming out with OTAs right now about Jalen Tolbert. And he's like, you know, my rookie year was kind of nuked because of injuries and he lost confidence early, but he's going to be in a dogfight in the fall camp with Ryan Flournoy. And Flournoy was actually one of the biggest risers coming out of the Senior Bowl, like you mentioned. And when I interviewed him a little bit, he said, my hands are probably the best of the best, and I'm fairly comfortable with my speed that I can run past almost anyone. And like, he talked about the tribulations of going JUCO, D2, FCS.
He went to three different colleges, right?
And he's 24. Maybe he's – he's 24 and a half years old. He's been at three different schools. He's gone through the gauntlet, but this is an opportunity that he's never had before. Like this is in this offense, it's going to throw the ball 600 times. You mentioned the depth chart already. And the number two receiver is, you know, Brandon Cooks. So we love Brandon Cooks, but he's not young.
Yeah. I mean, would it be that crazy to would you trip over yourself and say, I just can't believe it? Is this real life if Ryan Flournoy even overtook Brandon Cooks?
I don't see that happening.
I don't think it's the most likely outcome, but would your teeth fall out of your mouth and your eyes fall out? Like it wouldn't be the most crazy thing you've ever seen.
I'm like a hot take scale. That's like a 6.5. Like it's not burning. Like it's an understandable take.
Yeah. So yeah, it's like, you know, and Cooks will be gone soon.
Yeah.
So this is a bet, and I hate to do it because I love Tolbert coming out. I thought physically, man, Tolbert looks like $1 million.
And he's an athletic specimen.
But. Yeah. If he turns it on, you know, it could be trouble for Flournoy, but we've heard, Cody, from people behind the scenes that Jalen Tolbert just has a really, really hard time with the playbook. And so, we'll see. It's kind of, you know, it's not only a bet on Flournoy, but it's also a little bit of a bet that, like, man, it's been very discouraging what we've seen so far out of Jalen Tolbert there in Dallas. So
is there a chance, and before we get off this Dallas thing, is there a chance that potentially Dallas is – I don't think San Francisco would trade a guy like Ayuk to them, but do you think like a T. Higgins thing at that
would
potentially come down? I know that's what I'm saying is you'd have to like manipulate money a lot, which we've seen teams do. They don't have a lot of cap now. They have $65 million in cap next year, but if you manipulated some money, gave T. Higgins a long-term contract, like it just feels so naked in that wide receiver room. And like it's Flournoy and Tolbert literally as the three, like,
yeah, I mean, you have to take these things into consideration, but just look at who all Dallas has to pay. Right.
Yeah. Dak. You know,
well, and then of course, Trash Man just thinks that it's just fine just to get rid of Dak and just everything.
I think he's gone.
I just don't get this whole thing. It's like, just throw Dak into the throw him out. Like he's some kind of, you know, like he's one of, like throw him in the coal bin. Like he's some kind of, you know, small little bass that you don't think you're going to need to win the tournament. Like, are you kidding me? I don't understand it out of Trash Man. I think it's cockamamie.
You're not a Cowboys fan.
No, that's true. Yeah, well, exactly. I'm not poisoned with fandom. I can look at it objectively. And I've gotten to be more of a Cowboys fan considering now that I have a, you know, my wife is a, you know how she is.
I'm becoming less of a Cowboys fan. I'm starting to go back to my Houston roots.
I have two kids now that are Cowboys fans too. So it's like, I have to kind of like them a little bit. Anyway, the whole Dak thing is a whole other conversation they can have on national sports radio. Cody?
I'll go running back here quick. I'm going to go to Baltimore.
Yes.
You take Rasheen Ali away from Trash.
I'm
going to Rasheen Ali. It's all right. We can share them. So Keaton Mitchell said, or they came out the other day, said Keaton Mitchell's not going to be ready for the season. We know Justice Hill is there. We all love Justice Hill and that speed.
What was the report on Keaton Mitchell? I must have missed. Like
he tore his ACL last year. Oh, and he's just not ready. He tore it in like week 15. He's just not going to be ready. He's not going to be ready until midseason. So
they're saying that he's definitely going to open the season on PUP no matter what.
Like, I didn't see the word PUP or anything like that, so I'm not going to put that out there. But that's pretty much what it's going
to
be.
That's what everybody's expected, but I just hadn't heard the reporting on it. So it was good to know.
So then Justice Hill is there as well, and we know how much they love him. And then they, of course, bring in Derrick Henry. But when you look at what Rasheen Ali did in college, man, he doesn't play like he's 205, 206 pounds, but that's what he is. He's a fifth-round pick. He had 45 receptions as a sophomore, 28 as a senior, rushed 1,400 yards as a sophomore. The athleticism 4.48. I think what he does and he brings into this offense is not a Derrick Henry 2.0, but at least a guy that you could depend on in a pinch in an opportunity if Derrick Henry goes down and misses a game or two. And then long term, Henry's old. And if let's say Rasheen Ali sits there for a year and gets groomed, you're looking at a potential RB1 next year as far as opportunity goes in that backfield.
If you and your team want to cut down on busy work and get more choice and control over accounts payable, you need Bill. Bill Accounts Payable is your secret weapon for saving time on AP. And with a special offer at bill.com/podcast, you'll save money too. With Bill, streamline your entire AP process, including bill creation, approvals, and payments. You can pay with ACH, credit card, check, and international wire transfer. Plus, you can easily integrate with most accounting software. No wonder hundreds of thousands of businesses are already using Bill to manage their AP. Schedule a free demo now to see how Bill can automate your financial operations. And right now, get 15% off when you subscribe to Bill Accounts Payable. There's never been a better time to sign up. This special offer is available for a limited time only at bill.com/podcast. Terms apply. See bill.com/podcast for details.
Trash man, you got anything else on Rasheen Ali, or do you want to talk about one of these others?
I'll talk about someone else. Well, is Jordan Travis too high?
No,
that's perfect. That's good.
Okay, then that's who I'm going to go to next. I mean, great weapons in New York behind a 40-something-year-old quarterback who is coming off an injury that, you know, usually can sometimes end people's careers. I just think it's kind of the perfect position potentially for Travis if something were to happen to Aaron Rodgers again this season.
Let's tell people who are NFL fans that, like, so Jordan Travis, quarterback, Florida State got hurt. Florida State got swindled. Everybody was a crybaby about them not getting into the college football playoff, you know, but it was because of him being hurt, right? Yada, yada, yada. He gets
very drafted. Very athletic quarterback.
When did he get drafted by the Jets?
I think it was the fifth round.
Was it the fifth round? Yeah. Round five. Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, Jordan Travis is good.
He's on what could be a great offense. He has all the weapons he could ask for at that position, on a team that's improving. I just think, you know, where you can get him and like his path to fantasy productivity. I mean, there are a few quarterbacks, I think, in his position who you can get as late as you can get Travis.
And it's like, you hate to bring up I'm sure Matt Kelly would call this the Aaron Rodgers backup corollary, but that's been a pretty good little feeder system there as far as guys that kind of play underneath Aaron Rodgers and then, you know, get to move on their own, most specifically recently with, say, Jordan Love. So, they could see a similar kind of deal out of him. My next one. I got another guy that probably hadn't been mentioned much on this podcast or on our broadcast from the Senior Bowl or Shrine Bowl or Combine or any of our travels and travails here at Roster Watch, but it's Jawar Jordan. I've been thinking about more and more from Louisville, and one of two guys drafted from Louisville this year, Louisville has had multiple. Did they have two this year?
Yeah, they had Isaac Garendo and Jawar Jordan.
Garendo and that's right. Okay.
Running back Isaac Garendo. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So, running back Jawar Jordan, he comes from Louisville. And you can watch back gosh, I wish, I think it's the Notre Dame game you can watch back and get, let me see if I can pull up his, I think it's the Notre Dame game that I saw. There's the volume out of him. I'm like, man, this guy, he only weighs about 195 pounds and not even particularly fast, right? 4.56 in the 40, but he was taken by the Houston Texans. And man, guys, I just think in the new Houston Texans offense, Damian Pierce just doesn't fit. I don't think he fits. I don't know whether it's just, do you remember him at the Senior Bowl, guys, whenever he would just hit the line, he hits it so hard and he busts in more like in these inside run drills, he's unstoppable because he hits the hole and he gets through there so fast and all that. I'm not sure he's got the, I still think he can be really good somewhere. Right. I mean, he's still a good running back objectively. I think I'm not sure how much they like him. And, you know, there's been the stuff where Nick Caserio, you know, sort of asked the other day and saying, you know, he's going to play a big role this year, Damian Pierce. And of course this is with the, this is, you know, we're talking about things in the shadow of the big thing that happened at running back with Joe Mixon going to the Texans. Right. But they're saying, you know, but they're like, well, what about DP? Because even though he was a, you know, big year as a rookie, down year as a sophomore, the people around that facility, if you've been around Damian Pierce, you know, he's an energetic guy. He's a fun guy to be around. People around there really like him, you know, just as a person, the reporters that cover the team, all that stuff. Like, it's like DP's always cracking up. And they're like, what about him? He's like, well, yeah, he's got a big role. The good thing, and what I noticed with Caserio is he said, well, the good thing about him right now, at least, is he came in and he looks like he's in great shape, which to me made me kind of, you know, I kind of raised my eyebrows a little bit. I'm like, great shape. Well, you know, what
he's
exactly
not going to be a Texan. He's not going to be a Texan.
So you get the same kind of, that gives you a squirrely kind of spidey sense.
He's going to be on, look around the league, look around the Giants aren't really that deep. You know, they have Tyrone Tracy, who we like, Eric Gray, who Trash Man likes, Devin Singletary. He might follow Singletary there. The Vikings aren't generally, you know, Aaron Jones is 30, Ty Chandler really isn't proven much. Like, there's opportunities all around the league to go in there and do exactly what you said. Come in there with a great mindset, which we know Damian Pierce has. Like, it wouldn't shock me if he was gone by the middle of camp.
Well, if that's the case, then Juwan Jordan would be owned in every league because he would be the number two. I mean, the other guys on that team, what you're talking about, Dario Ogunbowale is still bouncing around there. Devin Singletary's gone. I mean, these guys, they have stink. He would be the number two. And here's the inconvenient truth about Joe Mixon. He's not Joe Mixon anymore. You know, the problem I'm having with Joe Mixon is, even though I know he's not Joe Mixon anymore, and I bang my head against the wall for any teams where I still rostered him in Dynasty, or if I'm stupid enough to play him in DFS in good matchups, is he stunk last year just by watching him with the number of goal line opportunities that he would get. And he just, like, I don't know what it is, man. He doesn't run behind his pads anymore. He's one of these guys that if you talk to, I remember I talked to Grant Barfield from Fantasy Points on this podcast last year, coming into last year, and he created this stat called Yards Created. And he was just pointing out, he's like, you look at his yards created, his ability to create on his own, Mixon, through the course of his career, and it's been a free fall, right? It was fine for a couple years, but then the yards created goes down through the roof, and then basement. You have basements where you come from, right, Cody?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay. We don't really have trash man. Have you ever lived in a home down here in Texas that has a basement?
No.
Me either.
I used to, my room used to be in the basement. I used to sleep underground, technically.
So you literally were one of these guys playing fantasy football down in the basement.
In my mom's basement. Yeah.
In your mom's basement. Okay.
I spent a summer in Canada with my aunt and uncle, and they had a basement.
Trashman is also the only Texan that says aunt, but regardless, the trend line is down into Cody's bedroom back there at his mom's house. Right. It's like, it's down in the basement. So, I think that Mixon's not as good anymore. But on the other side of that, you know, on the Mixon side of the, you know, the pros, you know, that on the pros side of the ledger for Mixon, he's going to an offense now that, it wasn't like he was on an offense that was devoid of any scoring previously, but you know, he's going to go to an offense where there will be scoring opportunities. He'll have more, you know, indoor kind of, you know, dome good situations like we like. So that's all good. If you're betting that Mixon isn't quite as good anymore, and you talk about the fact that Dameon Pierce might not be a fit in that system. I mean, Jawar Jordan, I think you could do a lot worse.
I still believe in Pierce, but.
Do you believe in Pierce in Houston?
Yeah. I just don't think of it in Houston.
I think it's about the dearth of options there in the backfield.
I
know, and Mixon not being the player that he was. I think you give the ball to one of these guys at the five, you're going to want it to be Pierce.
I will say this. We have heard the last 2 years of the combine specifically, these GMs, these coaches are just, we want multiple backs. We don't want to lean on one. So technically that does make sense on them keeping the depth. Cause as much as we respect Pierce, like we know he's a good depth piece and Jawar Jordan is a rookie. So that technically that checks out. I like it.
Cody.
I'm going to take a layup here. I'm going to go to tight end. This is a guy we loved before coming in from the Big 12. Eight touchdowns last year, 500 receiving yards.
I think you're going to take mine.
So. I'm going Jared Wiley from Kansas City. So it's easy because he's 6'6". The athleticism is there. He's a fourth round pick. And the problem I did not expect to see.
That's the thing. That's the thing.
Was right now, the thing I did not expect to see, which I'm seeing a lot of in these rookie drafts, is people saying, yeah, but Noah Gray's there. Yeah, but Noah Gray's there. Yeah, but Noah Gray's 6'3", 240 pounds. And yes, he's been there. And yes, he's gotten 30, 35 targets the last couple of years in opportunities. He's also not as athletic as Jared Wiley. And there's this thing called contracts, and his contract is up at the end of the year. So the point of a taxi squad is to hold a guy. And if there's one tight end in this class that I'm stashing the hell out of and holding everywhere, it's Jared Wiley.
Trash man, he took my last one. If you don't believe me, you can see I have him written down right here. Jawar Jordan, Jared Wiley, Flournoy. You got anybody else?
Yeah, I mean, I have Brendan Rice of the Chargers, round 7 Ooh. Pick. I mean, if nothing else, his pedigree makes him for a taxi squad guy that I like. I mean, Jerry Rice's son, I mean, arguably the best receiver in the history of the NFL, his progeny. When we think about the last player whose father was one of the best receivers, at least in the Arena League, and Antonio Brown's father, we got a player like Antonio Brown, who a lot of people didn't think would produce in the NFL the way that he has. Rice has a chip on his shoulder, definitely. You know, big guy, 6'2", 208, has something to prove in an offense where the wide receiver competition is largely unproven. I feel like there's a clear path if Rice is half the worker that his father was, for Rice to become a major cog in that offense.
He was awesome at the Senior Bowl. Cody, how did he fall to the 7th round?
I don't know. We still haven't heard. The one thing I did see after the draft was that Jerry's like, I will be in charge of your workouts from now on. We'll be getting you in shape. We'll be getting you ready. So I'm just like, done. All right, I'm still in on Brendan Rice. I don't know why he fell there. We talked about it on the Orange Bowl show this morning. Like, that was one of the touchdown things last year. I think he had 12 touchdowns on like 45 receptions. Caleb Williams actually brought that up at his own press conference at the combine. This guy was just dependable. I don't get it. He must have failed some interviews or something, but it makes no sense.
Yeah, man.
His father, his metrics, his testing going into NFL wasn't great either.
Yeah. Wasn't like Brendan Rice.
Brendan did good.
Terribly, he didn't test terribly.
Jerry Rice. I mean, it wasn't terrible, but he came in as an average prospect.
So Trash Man, you're basically telling us that we can stash the next Jerry Rice right now on our dynasty taxi squad.
Maybe.
Hey, Byron's excited for that one.